Good evening, church. Today is Good Friday. It's a day that we remember the sacrifice that Jesus made for us when he died on the cross, when he was crucified. It's interesting that we call this Good Friday. For many of us, if we had experienced what Jesus experienced, we would not exactly consider it good. And many times on this day, there are many pastors, and I've been one of them, that has really dug into the severity of the physical suffering that Jesus experienced on that day. And while I don't want to diminish that severity, it was extremely cruel. Crucifixion was an extremely cruel way to die. But I think sometimes on Good Friday, we have a tendency to focus more on the impact that it had on Jesus' body, on his humanness. And I think we miss the impact that it actually has on us spiritually. And I think we miss the impact that Jesus' sacrifice did for us. The sacrifice that he freely gave to us. Now, I don't think we should just place the value of the cross solely on his physical suffering. I mean, the realities of it, like I said, are astounding. But it's the spirituality of the cross, I think, that truly makes Good Friday good. In Romans 6, Paul says that we died to sin. How can we live in it anymore? When Jesus died on the cross, our sins died with him. And it's the reason, that's the reason why you and I can do what Paul instructs us to do, which is to put to death our sin nature. Without the death of Jesus, our sin nature could not be killed. Paul continues in Romans 6, he says, "For we know the old self was crucified with him, so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin." He says, I know that my old sinful self was nailed to the cross with Jesus Christ. It's gone. And we're no longer slaves to it. So in a sense, we died with Christ. Our old nature, our old self was crucified on the cross of Jesus. In Colossians 2, Apostle Paul tells us three things. There are three things that died with Jesus on the cross. I want to read to you verses 13 through 15 of Colossians 2. He says, "You were dead because of your sins." That's what we were. We were dead because of our sins. "Because our sinful nature was not yet cut away." It says, "Then God made you alive in Christ, for he forgave all our sins. He canceled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross." See, in this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. So what's the first thing we have here? What are the things that Paul says died with Jesus on the cross? Well, at the cross, our death died with Jesus. Let me read verse 13 again. "You were dead because of your sins, and because your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all our sins." See, we need to understand that there are three types of death. The first one is physical. That is where we are separated from the living. The second one is spiritual, and that's where we're separated from God. And the third one is eternal death, and that's where we're separated not just from the living, but also from God. And what we see here in Colossians 2:13 is spiritual death. Our sins separate us from God. And on the cross, Jesus destroyed spiritual death for everyone who would believe in him. Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy, "And which now has been manifested through the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ." And Jesus, he says, abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Through the good news, Jesus brings immortality. He destroyed spiritual death. He made us alive in God. No longer are we separated from God, but we are alive in God, knowing God, walking with God, spiritually alive with God. Let me read Colossians 2:13 again. "You were dead because of your sins, and because your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all our sins." See, at the cross, your separation from God ended. It ended. Secondly, at the cross, your debt died with Jesus. Paul says in Colossians, says, having forgiven all our trespasses, all of our sins, by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with legal demands, this he set aside, nailing it to the cross. How many of our sins did God forgive? All of them, forgiving us all our trespasses. All, not just some, not a little, not a few, but all. And how did he do it? By nailing it to the cross. See, Paul uses this idea of a record of debt. It's like a receipt. It's like when you go out to eat. Well, when we get to go out to eat again, and you go out to eat, and the waitress or waiter brings you this bill. That's your record of debt. But God nailed that record of debt to the cross. See, imagine running up a credit card bill for your whole life, never making a monthly payment. Now imagine the bank forgiving all that debt. This is the idea that Paul's trying to communicate. God canceled the debt. He canceled the debt that you and I ran up and we could not pay. Every evil word, every evil deed and thought was on that bill. But Jesus paid it for us. And then in verse 14, Paul says, having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us. See, our debt was more than just debt. It was our enemy. Our debt was actively working against us. It was accusing us, keeping us from becoming what we are supposed to be, what God meant for us to be. Our debt was actively making our lives miserable and making eternal life even worse, by separating us from God. It was hopeless, and there's nothing that we could do about it. See, but the good news is that at the cross, that debt was canceled. At the cross, Jesus died for our debts, and our debts died with Christ. Again, verse 14, by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands, then he set aside, nailing it to the cross. See, the idea of canceling in Greek carries this thought of completely erasing the whole book. In Revelation, we have this scene of the great white throne judgment and all of mankind, the dead, apart from Christ, are judged. The book is opened. Jesus says, I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. But see, at the cross, Jesus wiped out everything that was in that book. That 10-volume set on me is now full of blank pages, because Jesus died on the cross for it and wiped it clean. Also, thirdly, at the cross, your enemy's demonic power died with Jesus. Look what it says in verse 15. In this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. See, when Jesus died on the cross, he disarmed the enemy. Remember, in Ephesians, Paul says that our battle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against the spiritual rulers and authorities. And when Jesus died on the cross, he actually disarms them. The weapons that the enemy uses to try to defeat us are no longer valid. They no longer have any power. The idea that Paul is presenting here is this idea of a Roman triumphant when it says that he publicly shamed them. What would happen is a conquering general, after he had won the war, would bring back prisoners. And he would parade them through the street in chains to show that he was victorious, that he had defeated his enemy. And that is what Jesus has done on the cross. Not only does Satan no longer have power over us, but he and all those who oppose God have been shamed. Believe me, they're going to still try to fight us. And they're going to try to fight us to the very end. But it's futile. They're already defeated. See, because now you and I, we live in this promise from Romans 8. It says, "For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." So why do we call it Good Friday? Because at the cross, our spiritual death died with Jesus. Our separation from God is no more. And at the cross, our debt was paid. And at the cross, our enemies are defeated. Praise God. That's why we call it Good Friday. And that is why when we gather together on this day, and when we gather together the first Sunday of each month, that is why we take communion, to remember what Christ did for us. So I'm going to ask you, if you have gathered your family together, and I hope you've gathered the elements, whatever thing you have in your house that resembles bread, and whatever you have in your house that would resemble the blood of Christ, juice, anything red, I would say. And we're going to take communion together. Since we can't be together physically, we're going to take it this way. So on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he was with his disciples celebrating the Passover. He had just taught them that that they needed to be servants, that they needed to serve each other. And he took the bread. And he broke it in two. And he passed it to them. I want to pray for the bread. Father, we praise you. We praise you for the body that Christ gave for us, for the sacrifice he made on the cross. It is Good Friday because of all the things that were done for us on that cross. Bless this bread. Help it to remind us of the price that was paid for our salvation. We pray this in your name. Amen. Take a piece of the bread. This is my body that's been given for you. Take and eat. In the same way, he took the cup and he blessed it. So let's bless the cup. Father, we praise you for the blood of Christ. The blood of Christ that covers our sins and washes our sins away. What can wash away my sins? Nothing. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. May Jesus' blood make us white as snow. We praise you for the blood of Christ spilled for us. Jesus said, "This is the blood of the new covenant being poured out for you. Take and drink." Well, beloved, happy Good Friday. I hope you were blessed tonight. I long for the time when we will be together again and can take communion together. May God bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you. May he lead you as you walk with him. May he remind you daily of what he did for you on the cross. May he help you to put to death your sin nature. And may you glorify him each and every day. Amen, and God bless. Goodbye, church.